Okay, we're going to get started here. We're going to start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Father, we thank you for the day now that you've given to us and for allowing us to be here this day. We thank you, Father, for taking care of us this past week and just for all the things that happened and took place and how you met the needs and just for your guidance and direction. Now, Lord, we ask that you would just help us here today with the lesson and that everything would go okay and that you would teach us the things we need to be taught. And then, Father, too, as we have Vacation Bible School coming up, Lord, here this week, it's going to be a busy week for everybody, and we just ask that you would just give us the strength that we need, but most of all, give us souls to be saved, dear Father, and we'll give you the honor and the praise for it. We ask you would be working in the hearts of these children, and that you would just help them, you would guide them, direct them, and just help us to bring forth your word, that they would understand it, and that your spirit would just work in their hearts. We thank and praise you now for the time that you've given to us. Be with us this day and help us, enlighten us through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What's it mean? A lady had a son. The son was brought up in a church. The son now is out on his own, has his own family, has his own children, but he's not following the Lord in the way that the mother thought that she taught him. That she says, this verse says that when he's old, he's not going to depart from it. She's leaning upon that. Is that right or wrong?
Depends on how you train him.
Anybody else? I'm going to use animals too, so. I mean, same thing. I mean, your kids aren't animals. No, I understand that. But you're doing the same thing there. Right. Ben, did you raise your hand?
I don't raise my hand.
Oh, you didn't? I thought I seen a hand. You were just waving to the sky here or something. The rocket that was taken off there. Anybody else? Go ahead, Charlene. Think that's what the verse says? Look at it. Train up a child in the way he should go.
I just like the word train. Find spelled out like.
Okay, that's where I'm starting. Let's start off with train. What does the word train mean? What do you think the word train means? Go ahead, Ron.
My first reaction to that is boot camp. When you go to the military, they train you for what you're going to do. They do it rather quickly for what they give you. And that's the intense way of teaching and learning. But that, to me, is when I hear the word train, that's the first thing that pops into my mind.
Abraham trained his servants to fight for him if they had to. That's exactly right. Nope, you're right on that. That's a good analogy for it. So it is. Definitely. I thought the same thing. Buddy, when you get in there, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. But it's not too long. Within a few minutes, you're going to learn when you go in there. They're going to train you. That's a guarantee.
One day and the next day. Oh, I forgot. That's their famous words. I forgot.
repetition be consistent with everything.
Right, exactly. Just hear what Corby's saying, you know, about training a dog, a horse. Natalie was good at horses. It's the same thing. You, okay, dog, sit. I said sit.
Repetition.
Sit. Okay. Once you get them to sit, shake my hand. Give me your paw, shake my hand. Finally, you got to reach down. And you constantly or consistently after it, after it, after it. Consistency is a key thing to it. Go ahead, Nancy. Yeah. Go ahead.
I use the old ancient KJV, so it has on the right hand side chastise for train.
Well, I guess thinking back when I went into the service, that was a little bit of chastisement, so it was. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah. Sometimes I think I got to do that same thing to think. So, okay, here's what it means. To train or train up means to educate, to teach, to form by instruction or practice, to bring up. So it's the same thing here. Teach is in it. What do you think teach means? What does teach mean? Some of you are teachers. You're teaching your children at home. What does teach mean? That's the first one of it, to instruct. That's right. See why I went over Colossians chapter 3 for us? To instruct, to inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was ignorant. Now you may think that, what? But that's what it means. And ignorant means a person untaught or uninformed, one of unlettered or unskilled. A man may be ignorant of the law or of any art or science. He may be ignorant of his own rights or of the rights of others. When I first went for my driver's license, I was ignorant of the law. I had no idea what all was in the law till they gave me a book. Then I got taught because I went, the school still had a driver's training program. I don't know if they still do or not, but they had a driver's training program. So I enrolled into that so that I could learn the law. I was ignorant of it. I had to be taught. I had to be instructed in that, you see. So that somebody that was ignorant. I guess I did write it down. Isaiah 2:3 says, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." They had to be taught the ways of the Lord so they could walk in his paths. If they weren't taught, how would they know the ways of the Lord? Luke 11:1, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So he was asked, Teach us to pray. So what did he do? He gave them, and we call it, and it is a model prayer. He taught them some of the things that he wanted them to know what to pray for, you know, how to pray. Acknowledge the great Father was the first thing, you know. Our Father, which art in heaven. Acknowledge that Father. Acknowledge God. That's what he was trying to teach them. You're to acknowledge God when you pray. That God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven, he said. God's will is going to be done. He taught them that's how you pray. God's will to be done. Not our will to be done, but God's will to be done. Third thing, giving us our daily bread. It's a model. Ask for your daily bread. He's teaching them. Four, forgive us of our sins. We're to ask forgiveness of our sins. Yes, it's under the blood of Jesus, but we still sin, and he still wants us to come and ask forgiveness for our sins. The fifth thing, forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive the person. Forgive them people, you know. Forgive all these things, you know, that people that are indebted to us. I was in business for years. You can't believe the indebtedness. You're in business, you probably find out. You ever, maybe it happened to you. It's happened to me lots. I had to forgive those people. I didn't forget about it. So what? $15,000, $20,000, so what? What am I going to do about it? You can go to this dope head up here, I'm sorry, district attorney or whatever he is. He doesn't do nothing for you. All it does is cost you more money. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. So why do it, you know? But you're to forgive them. So he says, also, the next thing he said in his model prayer, lead us not into temptation. Don't lead us in, you know, Lord, you know, keep me away from temptation today. I don't need it. He's teaching them. It's a model prayer. It's something that you're to be looking to. Keep us from evil. Was the last thing he had in there on it. Keep us from evil. You know, it's just a model prayer, something to teach. It's nothing that a lot of these churches, you know, that they repeat that prayer. They repeat that prayer over and over and over. I know the Lutherans did it. I'm sure the Catholics do it. You know, people just do that, you know. But that's wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to teach, Lord, teach us to pray. It's a model. Teach me to pray. How should I pray, Lord? Right there it was. He puts it out in black and white for you. For us, you know, for us to know that. So that's what he said, you know, teach us to pray. So training and also teaching, I think both of them go together, you know, because the training says to educate, to teach, you know. To teach, it means to instruct, to inform, to communicate, you know. To communicate to another, you know. You're teaching your children school. 2 + 2 = 4. You know. You're teaching them that, you know. You teach them the basics. You teach them math. You teach them reading. You teach them these kind of things, you know. I mean, the Amish, that's all they do, is they just teach the basics and that's it. They don't get into all this crazy stuff like we get into today, you know. I was very ignorant of school. Number one, I didn't want to do it. Number two, my mother did it for me all the time, my homework and stuff, which was dumb, which was stupid. She didn't teach me nothing. That's why it's so difficult for me today to learn the different things of it. She should have made me do it, but she didn't make me do it, you know. So, you know, I was ignorant of English. I'm ignorant of English today. My wife tells me all the time. She lets me know it. I was ignorant of it. I need to have been taught it. Diagramming sentences and stuff was the boringest thing that I ever did, you know, in school. That was the dumbest thing, diagramming sentences and stuff, you know. What was the purpose? I don't know. I mean, you probably know the purpose. I don't know what the purpose was. What do you want? There you go. So see, that's what it was all about that I didn't learn.
You're not the only one that's like, I agree. We dealt with that all year this year.
I like math, but just basic math. Don't give me algebra. That was the dumbest thing that I ever tried to do. And then they have trigonometry and all this other stuff yet besides. Forget it. I'm out of it. 2 + 2 = 4. That is very simple, you know. But seriously, you know, even some kids today don't even know basic math. You know, I worked with a kid that I had to teach him, you know, addition and subtraction just in measurements of us putting in sidewalks and stuff like that. I was literally teaching him. I would say, okay, now, 5 - 2 = what? You'd have to. I said, count it out on your fingers if you don't understand it. 5 - 2. You know, he couldn't figure these things out. You know, he wasn't taught it. You know, so he was ignorant of it. And it's not that he didn't want to learn; he was just slow at learning. So, and that's a key here that I want to get into here in just a bit. But you see, that is part of training and teaching. You know, you're ignorant of it. You know, so you have to be instructed. You have to be informed. That's what you're doing to your children. You're instructing them. You're informing them. You know, you're communicating with them is what it is. And it's knowledge that you have learned. But it should be the knowledge, what you should be training them in, just your basics, things that you're training them and educating them. But the word of the Lord, that's the key. You know, that's the key in training them. Now, so train up a child, that's what it means, I believe. You know, training, teaching, educating, et cetera, et cetera. So that we went over. Now, let's see what else it says here. In the way he should go. What do you think that means? You going to train him to be a dentist? Is that the way he should go? Train him to be a tree climber? Is that the way he should go?
I think it's the training them to make right decisions. We constantly come up to crossroads of choices that we should make. What are we going to do? Do this, or do that, or do something else? And the training is to give them wisdom to know what decisions to make would be the right decision for them in their life.
Okay, that's true. It literally means here, according to his or her, that child's way. Do you get that? Each one of you have told me, and all you older people know it too, each one of your children are different, aren't they? Huh? So you need to discern. It's up to the parent to discern what God's way is, that ability that he has given them, and then you must take it and develop it from there. It's that child. The natural way is to teach them all the same thing. Oh, that's the easy way. But do they all get it? Uh-uh. They all don't get it. So that's why it's your responsibility to figure out what each individual child is, you know, what that is that is that they need developed in, and then you work on that.
There's a verse in Proverbs that says, I heard a preacher introduced by a shepherd, old granddad guy. Speak one verse.
Us a certain way, and we have a choice in it. In other words, Corby chose to be a tree climber, and the Lord has blessed him and taught him, and that's just one little example. I know we're talking about bigger things than tree climbing.
No,
but
no.
The Lord has,
it's a good example.
Corby chose that. Corby fears God. And because he does, God's blessing is involved in his development of that skill. And I'm wondering if that's not what we're talking about here. The Lord teaches us. We're to teach our children. But we've got to be discerning enough to know what the way is and what the kid's geared toward.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, we have to pick out, like I just said, we have to pick out that development, you know, what each child is, you know, and especially in God's way, you know, to teach them. Let me use this as an example. I don't know, it's not a good example, but we have junior church back here. And when the younger children come in, those of you who have junior church, you know what I'm talking about. When the younger ones come in, the attention span is less than what the attention span is of this one, okay? So what you have to do is you've got to try, if it's any way possible, to try to keep the attention span of both of them. Little Grady comes back. He come back here, I don't know, a couple months ago maybe, or a month or so ago, and, you know, we are trying to get them to sit still, to listen, and it's tough. It is real tough. He's very active. He's got a lot of energy, and he wants to get it out. And, you know, we don't want him speaking out or anything like that. We try to teach him not to do that, but he's done it. Last week, I think, so far, you know, we'll see about this week, but last week it sunk in. He listened. He understood. He sat there. That was the best kid that there was there. You know, and we told his parents that he did really good, you know. Now, it's just going to be 1 week. But see, as he develops, it gets better and better and better, you know. As the weeks go on, he will be to the point where he will be able to sit just like the other ones and listen and understand what we're trying to show them. And, you know, we do a lot of you know, we have pictures and things like that there that we show them, you know, so that it kind of does keep their attention instead of just standing here like I do and talk to you. You know, it you can't keep their attention that way. Nancy.
Brady likes to participate very much. I mean, he really does. It's not that he doesn't want to listen. He likes to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's developing. See, he's developing. You know, your children. We've gone through some of the things with your you other guys, your younger ones, with your children too. But they're developing. They're getting better and better at it. You know, and it's just you. What you got to watch though is who sets the example. We try to teach the older ones. You know, set an example for these younger ones. Sit still, be quiet, don't be goofing off, you know, sit there with your hands folded in your lap, you know, zip your lip, pay close attention, you know, and smile. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But, you know, that's another thing that you have to be careful with, you know, that you got to watch. So, you know it's that development. It's that development part. You know, you guys are, you younger ones are in that stage right now. You're in that development part. You know, and you're training them in the way they should go, you know. And you want them to be a Christian. You want them to grow up to serve the Lord. You've got to train them in that way. You can't expect it just to happen or expect the church to do it or somebody else to do it. It's your responsibility. And I'm not saying you're not. You are. You know, you are. And it just has to keep going. It's just like Bunny said, it's consistency. Do you get tired of consistency? Oh, yeah. But you keep doing it. You keep after it. More questions or comments?
I think another word for the parents hit me, because I know someone had said to me when I took the kids to school in Lewistown, I would drive that mountain sometimes three times a day. And someone said to me, you have to be very committed. And I think that's another word for the parents. They have to be committed to being consistent, to to training their children.
You do. Okay.
Two older girls start arguing, and I just want to run away and just see what happens. And so I feel like, yeah, I don't know how much more to commit myself or how much more. I'm just
the quickest way for a parent to get a child's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. I know that some of you younger ones you get frustrated, okay? But listen, we older ones went through the same thing. Wives got frustrated, men sometimes got frustrated. You know, they come home and the wife unloads on them, you know, and you were just at work today. You just went through some situations where you maybe would have liked to strangle somebody or something like that there, you know. But yet, you know, and you've got to come home, you know, the men, you got to come home. You got to let your wife blow it out onto you. Let her do it. You know, take it in. Take it. It's tough sometimes. Don't fight and argue with her. Just let her do it. She gets it off her chest. That helps out a lot more with the frustration and stuff, you know, because it is not easy. It's not easy, you know, especially when you have a big family. It doesn't matter if you have a big family or a small family. It's still not easy, you know. It's just not easy.
Well, the moms do need a break.
Yes.
I'm going to say that. I appreciate Roger. Becca has three and under, and it's tough. She's in a little tiny space there. Can't go outside sometimes because she's 3 floors up, and he sees and is very sensitive to when she's getting like that. And he'll say, call your mom and go yard sailing for the day. And he'll take the kids even for the whole day on a Saturday sometimes. Or he'll just say, go out to Walmart. You know, just go take a drive. And I think that's something the men can be sensitive about.
Right. This is what it's all about, you older ones, to give some advice to them, you know. To help them out. That's part of this now with this what I'm going through. I want you to help to put your input in here, and you know something that you experienced that you felt worked. Say it, tell it. You know, just like there. You know, men. Yeah, you had a tough day at work, but you know it's your kids too. The wife was there all day with them.
I would say, don't be afraid.
And that is a good thing. Exactly what he's saying there. That is a good thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to get away from it a little bit. You're not doing nothing to your kids by getting away from them for a little bit. Not at all.
You might be sparing their life.
Yes.
I think
I heard somebody else say, call Pastor Paul.
So, yeah, no, you do definitely, ladies, you do need a break. You do need a break from the children. Yeah, so, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, people here at the church will help you out. Do not be afraid to ask. You know that. That's what this church is about. helping. This church here is one, I've been in some different churches, but this in here has more of a love for one another to help out, to want to help out, to do the things. Look how everybody pitches in. Just not one person, but everybody. Well, there's lots of churches where I was at that just only one or two people did it, and that was it. Everybody else just, boom, out the door they go. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Ask. You need it. You need. When you get frustrated, get away from it. Whoa. Okay. Go ahead, Jennifer. Anybody want to give her some advice there? What would you do? Keep your thought there, Ainoa. I'll get you.
I think. Put them in separate rooms until I get my call, and then talk to them. I had to do it. I can't imagine because Garrett and Trevor, they're going to be 16 tomorrow. Oh, they're 16 today. We were driving down the road, and they were telling me about the program. So both of their mouths are telling me, and I said, "Stop right now, one of you at a time."
Okay, think about it a little bit. Maybe you can give her some advice on that. I know. What did you had your
idea? Sometimes we think that we don't want to ask somebody for help because we struggle with what our kids act like, and we're like, they're going to be horrible if they're somebody else. Yeah, you need to ask somebody else to help. And if they act differently, when I have their kids on Mondays, I think they entertain my kids. It's so much better. And so, really.
Mm-hmm. Ron, did you have your hand up? Did your hand go up? Okay. Okay, I thought I seen three hands going up there. Okay, all at once. All right, so you need to train them in the way they should go. Okay, let me read some verses here to you. Genesis 18:19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God knowed Abraham. He knowed all about him. He knew just exactly how he would command his children and all that, and he knew that he would keep the justice and the judgment and all that stuff with them. God knew that, you see. God's will in heaven and in earth. Okay? Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart of all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons and sons. Generation after generation after generation. Grandparents, it doesn't hurt for you to help out to teach your grandkids. Now, saying that, let me say this, because I know what's going through some of your minds. Grandparents, don't go against what the parents are trying to teach the children. Help them. You can teach them the things that you taught. You can teach your grandchildren the things that you taught your children, but, like I say, don't go against they may see something a little different in training their children than what you did with them, and so go along with it. Is there sometimes you would like to bite your tongue and everything else? Yes, but bite your tongue, you know. Let them train their children the way they should train them. But you can help out. It's that teaching them, thy sons and the sons. It's generation after generation after generation. It's going down through, you know, to keep the same things. So, you know, it's okay to help out, but be careful when you do it. This was some of the questions that some of these guys that I have asked to write me questions out, this was one of the questions about the grandparents. You know, the grandparents doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And I agree, they shouldn't be doing some of the things that was asked. You know, so don't go against the children, your children, you know. But, you know, you can help out. Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You're teaching them all day long. When they wake up, when they go to bed, you should be teaching. Listen, it was a commitment that you made. You wanted to have the children. Now stick by that commitment and teach them. Train them in the way they should go. Okay? You got to train them. Psalm 78:3-6, as a matter of fact. Which we have heard and known of our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. God set up a law for the children of Israel, and they were to teach this to their children so that it could go on down to the line. I don't know if it's going on today, but Israel should know that law that they had clear back when that law was established. If it's done the way the Bible said it's supposed to be done. I can't tell you. I don't know. I haven't never talked to nobody, you know, from Israel or a Jew that to see if that was taught that to them. But they should know that law if it's done the way God wanted them to do it. And you're to do the same thing. You have God's law. And you're to teach it. You're to bring that to your children. Ephesians 6:4, you know it. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what he wants you to do, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The way they should go. Samuel. You know what happened to Samuel. 1 Samuel 1:28 says, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So Samuel was lent to the Lord. When Hannah said that she would have a child, how would you like to have a child? You would bring them up till you had them weaned. Now, when they weaned them then, it's a lot different than it is today. The age was completely different. I'm not positive. I read so many different things, but I think the age was from 5 to 7 or something like that there. That they would be weaned, you know. Then is when she turned them over. But, you know, she had she had the best years of that child's life to get her things into him. And you could see it. Read it up. Read it. I just went through it this morning there a little bit about him, but about Eli and his children. What did that man teach his kids? Nothing. And I'm not afraid to say it. Nothing. He didn't teach them nothing. Whenever they were caught, whenever they were out with the women and stuff, you know, at the entrance of the tabernacle and stuff, and they were laying with them and everything else. And he said, you shouldn't do that. What did they learn? Nothing. A prophet comes along and says to Eli, your sons have done all these abominations and stuff, and they are going to be killed, both of them, in the same day. And he said, you are going to be too. And what happened? Exactly what he said. They were killed the same day. And Eli fell over, broke his neck, and was dead too. And they said the generations after that, Abiathar, that when David, he was the high priest when David came in, kicked him out because he was relation to Eli. He said from it was your generation going down. They would have nothing to do with the priesthood. Nothing. David realized this. Somebody taught David. Kicked him out. Wasn't a priest anymore. So see, they're taught. So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's it mean? I got stuff here to read, but I just don't have time to do it now. So I'm going to put it out here the way I feel that it should be. What do you think it means? Anybody want to give a stab at it? Here's the way I feel that it is. I'm not the only one. I've read it with some other men. What age do you feel that you start training? As soon as they're born. Okay. Are you still training them at 5 years old? Are you still training them in the way he should go at 10 years old? Are you still training them the way they should go at 15 years old? Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. When he leaves home, he will not depart from it. You have trained him the right way. It's not that I hope that what I trained them, if they go away from the Lord, that they'll come back to it. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but it's what the verse says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he's not going to depart from it. No matter what age, you've done it right. If they departed, I understand sometimes they want to get out here into the world and try it out and stuff, you know. And they may come back, you know, they may come back to it and stuff. I'm not saying that that's altogether wrong, but I'm saying if it's done right, it's the whole way through life, and through their life. They're not going to depart from it. Questions or comments on that? I got some good stuff here to read, but I can't read it, so don't have time. Questions or comments on that? You understand what I'm talking about? Go ahead.
In my mind, it's almost like the argument between free will and predestination. If you train the child right, he's going to be good in the end. But the child has free will.
Well,
the Bible says God knows who's going to be saved, but you have a free will whether or not you're going to be saved. So where do you draw that line? I don't know from a human perspective if you can. I obviously believe in free will. That child, once he's gone, has free will. So in my mind, the free will trumps the training. But does the training actually determine what the child's will is going to be?
I think that's the whole key in it right there. The training is going to be what the child's will is going to be. You know, I think that's what everything here that I've gone through is trying to say there on that. Do you have your hand up, or are you just stretching? I thought I seen your hand go up.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really have my hand up, but something's been spinning in my brain, and that is, how do you keep the world out of your training?
By putting them into the world. Get them into the world so that you can train them and say, like I've been saying, this isn't the way that we do things. This is the world's way. Here's the way that we do it, and get the Bible out and show them. You can't keep them. If you keep them separate from the world, I'll guarantee you 9 chances out of 10, they are going to want to get out into the world as soon as they possibly can, especially a teenager and stuff.
I wasn't saying keep them out of the world.
No, okay.
If we bring the world into our homes, and seems today is becoming more and more and more and more difficult to be able to keep the world, I guess, out of a classroom, a home. I mean, being able to raise kids and to explain right and wrong, and this is the world's way, and this is, you know, this is God's way, but the world just has an extreme influence.
Oh, definitely does. That's the prince of this world that has that influence.
We've got to be able to say, well, that, there's Hollywood, and that's what's wrong with it, and not bring it in at home and enjoy it, quote unquote, which we wouldn't anyway, because it's a garbage can. Flesh might enjoy it a while, but it's going to cause tremendous trouble. So there's got to be that teaching and discernment on exposing to the world, but it part of our lives, it can't be. And I know we can be deceived in different philosophies, and that we've got to sort through all that too. It's a battlefield.
Did you have something, Jennifer?
Well, just as a quick example, we had friends who, whenever they'd be driving around and they'd see a billboard, a nasty billboard, they'd say to their kids, "Oh, look at the bird over on the left side of the car," and this and that, and they'd always distract them from that so that they didn't see it. Well, someday they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And our children growing up in the generation that they're growing up in are going to see it much sooner. And so whereas, you know, I have been taught, like, don't give them too much that they can't handle at too young of an age. And I think the age might be getting even younger, and they need to understand things that might be heavy earlier. Because they're going to be exposed to things more. But instead of trying to distract them so that they don't see it, teach them how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what mine, there's the ones that I think would be most influenced end up being the ones that are most sensitive and pick up on. You know, that's all right. You know, and so it's like, there's times where they show me, it's like, okay, you know, I understand this is wrong. When I think, you know, are they going to be able to handle it? There's times where they come through and they're like, you know, Mom, this isn't right. I chose to go left. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like I look at that child and go, he's going to go with the crowd, and he doesn't. And so there's times where you put them in the midst. They have to have choices when they're younger that aren't, you know, you go somewhere where there's kids from wherever, and they're put in the midst, and they got choices they got to make, and it's part of that training.
They need to be tested. Exactly right. They need to be tested to see how they're going to handle it. Just quickly here, there's a program they have out right now where the parents sit in a trailer, and they're putting the teenagers out into it's a test, and they're putting them out there. They see this one guy and he's taking something out of his pocket and putting this drink and giving it to this girl, and then these are all actors, and she's playing like she's getting drunk, and he's going to take advantage of her, and they're wanting to see what them teenagers, if they're going to say anything or not. You know, it's surprising. It surprised me when I seen a couple girls. I mean, that one girl, I thought she was going to punch out one guy right in the mouth. She was irate. She got upset because he did that. But then there's all these guys that sitting there, they're just sitting there laughing, you know, about it. But you can see that they're very nervous and stuff. They need to be tested. And they're testing them to see. And then the parents come out, and then they all have a good talk about it. So there's nothing the matter with having them tested to see what you're training, if it's working or if it's not working. Okay, I got to stop there, so we'll pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, now as we go through this here, that we can help one another out with bringing up our children. And it's through you. It's through your word, Father. You have it in your word, and we just ask that you would just help us with it, guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.